Welcome back to Vocal Point. This is Jerry Newcomen. Right now we're going to talk about Islam. How is it that when we see some Muslims doing barbaric acts in the name of their religion, on the one hand, and on the other hand, we see people from the West almost making apologies for them and saying, well, they're not really good Muslims. I mean, President Obama basically said something to that effect. We're going to talk right now with Ishik. She's actually Sister Ishik, and she has a broadcast ministry to Muslims, and she comes from a Muslim background, and she's a believer in Jesus Christ. Ishik, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Jerry.
So how are we to understand? Let's take President Obama himself with the specific example where he was saying that IS, Islamic State, these aren't really Muslims. They're just pretend Muslims because they're, you know, they're killing people.
Well, that's not entirely, and it's not true at all, because they are good Muslims. They are following the order of their Allah, and this is order to them. And Quran is very clear about this, that if you are a true follower of Muhammad and Allah, you need to go and fight infidels who are Christians and Jews. So they are very good Muslims, actually, because they are following what they are ordered to do.
Yeah. Now, you grew up in a certain Middle Eastern country. Maybe, yes. Are you free to name
sure,
it?
Sure, sure. I grew up in Turkey, and I grew up in a devout Muslim home.
Yes, and I understand that when you were little one time, you saw there was a firefight going on, even involving people in stores or something like that,
yes.
And out in the streets. Tell us about that and your thoughts as a little child at the time.
Well, we had a civil war in Turkey in 1970s between the left wing, which are communists or socialists, we should say, and the atheist group, and then the other group, right wing, and they were Islamist group.
Okay.
So my mother and I was caught in the middle of the war.
How old were you?
I was 7 or 8 years old at
okay.
that time.
Yeah.
So they were coming, you know, towards each other with guns and swords and knives and all kinds of stuff. And my mother and I were just coming from shopping. And we were just caught in the middle of a battlefield. And they were running towards each other. And someone came and pulled us inside a store to save our lives.
Yeah.
And we waited there until everything was all over. People kill each other. People hurt each other. And when we came out of the store, my mother said, close your eyes. You are not going to look at anything.
Yes.
Just follow me.
And then what happened?
And then I stepped on something. And I opened my eyes. And there was a young man, teenager. He was bleeding to death at that moment.
Oh. And you don't know whether he was a Muslim or a communist or whatever.
I don't know. The scene never left my sight. I always remember.
Yeah. Now, how are we to understand the hatred that we see? Recently, we had the anniversary of 9/11.
Yes.
What was the hatred that drove that whole hijacking of the airplanes and killing all those innocent people? Some of the people killed were even Muslims.
Well, it is deeply rooted in the teaching of Islam. So it, you know, it may appear to a Western world or to you very unbelievable, very ridiculous, and how someone can do such a thing like that. But when you grow up in that, it is very normal, because in Quran, even though you don't want to fight, you have to, and it is ordered by Allah. And I grew up with that mindset. I could be one of those people.
Yeah.
That flying those planes, because when I was a Muslim, I would consider that the biggest honor to kill and die in the name of Allah. So I understand where they are coming from. They are brainwashed from childhood to do this.
Did you ever do anything violent yourself as a Muslim?
No, but I used to pray, Jerry. I used to pray that God would give me, my God at that time, of course, not the same God, would give me an opportunity to fight and kill in the name of jihad. In his name. It was truly an honor for me.
Let me ask you a question. I understand with the guys, you know, they're going to get 72 virgins, supposedly.
Yes.
But what do the women get?
Yeah, recently I put it on my Facebook, and I said, the lies that I believed.
Yeah.
It was the title.
Oh, that's clever.
And I believe that they were getting 72 virgins, and women get nothing. Obviously, we have no worth in Islam. And I didn't have any worth in my eyes or in my religion. huh. as a woman.
People can read about you or see some of your messages. Are these in English or only in Arabic?
These are in four languages. They are
including
in
English.
Including English, Arabic, Farsi, and Turkish.
Okay, and that would be at isikabla.com.
Yes.
Which translates to Sister Ishik.
Sister Ishik. Ishik means light, Sister Light.
Sister Light.
Yes.
Okay, give us the brief version. How did you come from being a Muslim to becoming a believer in Jesus Christ?
Well, give you the short version, I grew up in a Muslim home, and I became more radical Muslim than my parents because that became a purpose of my life. You know, everybody seeks significance in life and purpose.
Yes.
So Islam gives that purpose very well from young age to, you know, its people. And I was one of them. I wanted to do something radical for God to have a significant life. And I grew up in a dysfunctional home. Father, womanizer. Mother is in depression and having nervous breakdowns. I was abused since infancy. And I went to Quran courses. I sought all the answers in Islam, and I couldn't find anything because I had no personal relationship with my God. He was hateful, angry, and mean. And then I went to college, studied Islamic literature. It didn't help. And I met a radical Muslim man who I got married when I was a teenager and tortured me physically. And I, for my life, I ran to United States to find freedom. And I ended up with a drug abuser this time.
Oh.
And at age 28, on the day I was going to commit suicide, I was planning my suicide. I was a single mother at that time from my second marriage. I was a mess. I was a basket case. And on the day I was planning my suicide, Jesus Christ revealed to me in a very, very miraculous way. And my boss, my Christian boss at a workplace in Miami, led me to Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And my life changed completely.
And that was how many years ago?
It was 14 years ago.
So this is not just some little phase in your life. This is a new... Yeah. So what is it like to be a believer in Jesus as opposed to being a devout Muslim?
Well, it's completely two different things. Day and night difference.
Are you happy that you're a Christian?
Of course. Of course. I never laughed loud before in my life before I became a Christian.
Huh.
My life was nothing but a huge facade and fake, and I was living in deception and lies. But after I became a Christian, God, of course, changed my heart. But there was so much garbage that God had to deal with me.
And,
you know, because I believe that you could lie for a greater purpose. I believe it still lies, even as a believer. So it took for a while for God to change my thinking. Because when you're a Muslim, you are very manipulative. You are, you know, you want to do things your way. And you don't know anything about living a righteous life. And that changed. They change over the years.
Now, you know, you were mentioning before that Islam provides a purpose for people.
Yes.
At some point in your life, you felt like, for example, when you were in college, I understand, you were kind of devout as a Muslim. Was there a phase, I think you said in previous times, that you actually went after Christians or missionaries or something like that?
Yes, I used to go to the college campuses with Quran in my hand, and I would tell them to infidels, open anywhere in the Quran, I will explain it to you. And also, once in a magazine, I read about missionaries in Turkey and in the Middle East. I was furious, Jerry. I just wanted to find them, and I wanted to kill them. I had no doubt in my mind that they deserved that.
Wow. Now, I understand that when you were a child, you had a vision of all things of Jesus. Tell us about that.
Well, I was 5 years old. I had fear of death. Until I came to the great knowledge of Jesus Christ, I had fear of death especially when I was a little girl because of the abuse. I was afraid that my mother was going to kill me one day. And one night Jesus appeared to me in a dream and he said, "You are not going to die. You are going to have eternal life."
Now, did you know who Jesus was?
I knew instantly. I knew it. He didn't
How did you
say
know that?
That?
Because of from the Quran itself? Isa ben Miriam? I mean...
No, it was like instantly I knew he was Jesus.
Okay.
It was just like...
Yeah, but wait a minute. Now, here you were in totally Islamic Turkey.
Yes.
And then you had this vision of Jesus Christ, who you're not allowed to know about. So, I mean, how did you know it was Jesus?
Well, it was an inner voice in the dream that just revelation in the dream.
Yeah.
It was not an audible voice, but it was an inner voice told me who he was. And I knew because when I woke up next day in the morning, I ran to my parents' room because Jesus said also, your mother is going to die. And I started crying, Mom, I don't want you to die. I want none of us to die.
Yeah.
And she said, I'm not dying. Who told you I am dying? I said, Jesus. And I got the irritation. How do you know about Jesus? You know, who told you about Jesus? And I told them, I nobody told me. I had a dream about Jesus. He told me I'm going to have an eternal life, but you are going to die. And they were in shock. In a Muslim country, if you want to get anybody's attention, just say the name, Jesus.
Wow. Yeah. Then what happened?
Well, then they were really worried because I started going to the neighbors and other people. I am never going to die. You guys are going to die. I am going to have an eternal life. And they started worrying about me and they put me under my great grandmother who was an authority in Islam in the family.
Uh-huh.
They put me under her teaching.
And what happened then? Then you became a real strong Muslim.
Yes,
parroting back what they said.
Because my great grandmother, she gave me certain level of love and she put me under her wings and she didn't abuse me. So I kind of found a safe place there.
Yeah.
And she knew about God, Allah, in that land, you know, that only God was presented. So I said, okay, if I learn about God, I can find all the answers.
Yeah.
And he can change my misery.
And
I drew closer and closer to the word in the Quran, but nothing changed.
Nothing changed. Huh. All right, we're talking right now with Isik. That's actually not a real name, but that's all right. That means light. And she is dealing with Muslims today through broadcasts, I understand.
Yes.
And that is your real name, I guess. And it means light.
Yes,
fantastic.
It means light. And it's a real name in Turkey, too.
Right,
yes.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. Now, you obviously wouldn't be free to or safe to travel in Turkey and say, hi, I'm Sister Islik, you know, to tell you about Jesus.
Well,
or could you?
I travel to Turkey right now, but 2 years I didn't go to Turkey because there was an arrest warrant for me.
An arrest warrant?
Yes.
Yeah.
And but it has been easier for me to go not to hold any conferences.
Yeah.
So I have been visiting my parents.
So just kind of laying low.
Yes.
Where are your parents today, as far as Isa ben Miriam? In other words, as far as Jesus, son of Mary.
Well, I can tell you this, Jerry. Several years ago, I had a conference in Turkey. It was one of my last conferences because of security reasons.
Oh.
We didn't continue. But my father came to be a bodyguard for me as a Muslim man.
Wow.
And it was in an Armenian church. And my father was the most racist person you could ever know in your life against Armenians.
Yeah.
And he came, he said, I have to come and protect you because I know they want to kill you.
The Armenians or the
Muslims?
The Muslims,
of course.
Oh, yeah.
And then he came to the Armenian church, and I am speaking in an Armenian church, and I made an invitation for Muslims to come to the altar, and my father gave his life to Jesus in an Armenian church.
Wow.
And he just wept. I never seen my father crying in his life.
Wow.
At all. He's such a tough man, never cry kind of a Muslim man.
Yeah.
And he was crying like a baby.
Yeah.
And then we went home. He was quiet entire time. And then he kneeled before my mother.
Yeah.
And asked her forgiveness.
Oh, for things he had done before.
Yes,
wow.
Unfaithfulness and for the abuse and everything.
Jesus did that.
Jesus did that.
Yeah.
And he kneeled before me. And he asked my forgiveness.
Wow.
And now that once upon a time, the most racist man loves that Armenian church and goes there. He has still a lot of issues God is dealing with, but
sure.
I can tell you, my father is a changed man.
You know, and unfortunately, a lot of Americans don't know history very well, but
yes.
It is true that in the early part of the 20th century, the Turks and Muslims, they were exterminating Armenians. I mean,
yes.
Thousands and thousands of them, tens
yes.
of thousands. Maybe even hundreds of thousands. In fact, it was one of the early genocides in the 20th century.
That's true. That's true. Even they say that the number is close to 1 million people.
Wow.
Huh. Yes.
So tell me something. when we see the people like today, the Islamic State, and we see them taking a journalist in cold blood and beheading him because he's an American, we even hear reports of children, Christian children, being cut in two or being beheaded or, you know, whatever, just killing. Can those terrorists be reached, even those terrorists be reached for the gospel or with the gospel?
I do believe there's nothing impossible with God. And I want to share a testimony similar to one of the terrorists that received the Lord, if we have
time.
This man, he wrote to me from Facebook, and he had a picture on Facebook that he was wearing this commando outfit, and he had a bandana saying Allahu Akbar, and he was holding two machine guns.
Which means that that's the Muslim statement of faith. Okay.
Yes, and then he was holding two machine guns in his hand, in the picture. And he said, it is my life's purpose to find you and kill you, cut you in pieces until the last breath that I have.
Okay, and why would he do this? He thinks that Allah would want him to do that.
Yes, because I'm, you know, spreading the gospel and sharing my testimony with all over the world in five languages.
Wow!
So I am the biggest target for him. And then I wrote him. It took for a while, but I'm making the long story short. I wrote him, well, my Lord says, love your enemies. My Lord Jesus says, if they are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them water. I will be praying for you. My life purpose is to love you unconditionally, as your life purpose is to kill me. And that man, after long correspondence, he wrote me back. He said, do you know who I am? Do you know how many women I raped and how many people I killed? I am a very dangerous man, and I am not playing around. I really want to kill you. How can you love me? And I start ministering to him. After 2 weeks of correspondences, he gave his life to Jesus.
Now, okay, could I just play the other side here for a second? Since within Islam, aren't you allowed to tell lies if it serves the greater good?
Yes, yes.
Isn't that called hood? Is there a word? Taqiyya or something?
Yes, and if, I mean, you...
What's the word? I forget the term. Hudna?
Yes. Yes, I mean, it is the word, but it is ordered. Let's call it as a commandment. This is a commandment that you can...
So the Jews and the Christians have this command that says, thou shalt not lie.
Yes.
And you're saying Muslims have a commandment that thou shalt lie...
In exceptions,
yes. if it serves the greater good for Allah,
yes,
and the cause.
Absolutely, absolutely. Somebody can say, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ, and he can be a Muslim. Very radical Muslim.
Yeah.
But he can't say that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, you should obviously be careful with that Facebook guy because you don't know.
Well, 2 years, we discipled him. 2 years of correspondences. We even sent someone to him and he got water baptized.
Oh, wow.
So we sent Christians to him. As a matter of fact, he right now, he is one of the most protective people of my ministry. If anything he writes us, be careful with this group. Be careful with these people that are writing to you. They want to kill you.
Hmm.
So he has been very sold out to Jesus.
Is there any kind of little booklet, like a track that you have in your ministry or in, you know, that you distribute in your ministry that helps Muslims to understand about Jesus, but does it in a way that doesn't, you know, step on an IED, if you will, spiritually? In other words, you don't want to offend anybody.
Sure.
You want to build a bridge so that we can present Jesus and him crucified.
Well, I suggest my book, I Dreamed Freedom, and you can find it on Amazon.com. I give my testimony, and you can find every tool how to minister to a Muslim.
So, Ishik?
Ishik Abla.
Ishik Abla, I Dreamed Freedom.
I Dreamed Freedom.
You can find that, okay. Now, what about something smaller, you know, than just a book?
Well, I have a lot of Christian literature on my website.
Oh, okay.
www.ishikabla.com, ISIKABLA.com.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the Ishik is spelled ISIKABLA.com.
Yes.
Okay, Abla means sister.
Sister.
And Ishik means light.
Light, yes.
Okay, very good. Okay, so you think even terrorists can be reached. But in the meantime, we still have to deal with the ongoing threat. Look at what's happening to all these Christians, you know, in Iraq. I mean, surely force needs to be used against IS, correct?
Yes. And of course, even terrorists can be reached, and we need to be careful. We need to be wise, of course.
Yes.
You know, the testimony that I gave, you know, maybe one in a million, but we have to really know that our God can do it.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the testimony of the guy with the two guns?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I am not saying anybody to be carelessly, you know, putting their lives in danger to
right.
do such a thing. If Holy Spirit is leading them, do it.
Yeah, right.
If themselves leading themselves, don't do it.
Yeah. Now, you have some sort of broadcast ministry. Are you free to share about that?
Yes, yes. I have a broadcast to Turkey and Iran. To Turkey through Kanal Hayat TV, to Iran through Mohabbat TV.
TV?
Yes. And then I have a broadcast coming on Sat 7 to all Arabic world. They are dubbing my programs into Arabic right now. And I have a broadcast through Zindagi TV in Urdu language to Pakistan.
Oh, man.
So, and also I am in the entire Africa through Inspirational TV.
Wow.
To African Muslims. And I was just in Africa, in Mozambique, going to villages, Muslim villages, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now, when you do these TV programs, do you put a veil on or something
no,
like that?
No,
you show
I
your
go,
face?
I go show my face and I just share the gospel.
Wow. But, and again, no repercussions? Well, obviously very
oh, yes.
careful, you know.
Yes, we of course, we want to be wise, but we don't let Muslims bully me. Because
yeah.
this is, I call the religion bully, you know, bully, and they just intimidate you. Of
yeah.
course, I receive 300 threats a day on Facebook, only on Facebook.
300?
Yes.
Death threats?
Death threats. And... but the good news is this. Let's talk about the good side
yes,
of the
ministry. Yes, tell the good news, yeah.
On Facebook, we have 3.5 million hits a day. And last month, we reached 193 million Muslims. And our only social media, forget TV, only social media reaches right now 5 million every week.
Wow.
Which means 20 million a month. We
yeah.
receive... 6,000 emails and inbox messages monthly right now from Muslims.
What's the essence of your message?
Well, it is topical. I don't go and trash Islam or insult Muslims. I talk about what I've been through. For example, I talk about anger, hostility. I talk about rape. I talk about lying. But biblical aspects of it.
Yes.
And how people's life can change, ultimately directing them to Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Okay, so as we, for example, if we know some Muslim neighbors and we want to lead them to the Lord, it's not good to say, hey, Muhammad stinks or something like that. I mean, you don't want to attack their religion. Instead, you want to find a bridge and then show them Jesus and the difference Jesus can make.
Absolutely. I mean, you can only get a lot of angry Muslims when you say that Muhammad was a pervert and he had, you know, little girls that he was marrying. You know, it may be the truth, but this is not the way to, you know, hold a bridge. If you're insulting someone, you're closing a door.
Right.
But the man who led me to Jesus knew nothing about Islam, but he knew his God. He knew Jesus Christ so well.
Yeah.
He showed me the love and compassion of Jesus Christ, and I received Jesus through his witness.
Wow.
So...
Help us to understand about the difference between the Quran and what is called the Hadith.
Well, Hadith is not in the Quran, but what Muhammad said and ordered to Muslim people.
Okay.
And what he exampled through his life.
Okay.
So we have Quran, Muslims have Quran,
so
and they have Hadith.
The Hadith is, I mean, I've seen copies of the Hadith, and it's like mini encyclopedias.
Yes.
And they're multi-volumes, and these are the sayings and then the doings of, I don't know if that's the right word,
that's
sayings
right.
and the acts of Muhammad. And then, but what is the Quran, per se?
Well, Quran is supposedly given to Muhammad verbally. Not in writing, verbally, and he memorized it. He received it from Angel Gabriel, and he went down from the mountain, and he just spread it, and through word by word,
yeah,
over 60 years, it was not written. So after years, a lot of people sat down and wrote what they heard from Muhammad down. And then they watched his life. So whatever he did, they also wrote all those events and his acts down,
yeah.
And so those became Hadith. So he also portrayed how Muslims should live.
Now, did you ever memorize the Quran or portions of it?
Well, I memorized Quran, a lot of Quran. As a matter of fact, I've been, you know, 28 years of my life Muslim, and I have been 14 years of my life Christian. Mm. So I still know, I can say, as much Quran
28
as,
versus 14.
Yes, yeah. Twice as much of my life I live as a Muslim. So I memorized a lot of Quran.
But now, would that be in Arabic?
It was in Arabic. I memorized something that I did not understand, but I also memorized it in Turkish translation.
Oh, I see. Yes. Yeah, because a lot of people, they might memorize it, but they don't even know what they're memorizing.
Exactly, exactly.
Which is actually good. Sorry, but it's good. You know, it is better.
I mean, they are just repeating the words that they don't know in their prayers. Yeah. And I always tell Muslims, this is very important, if any Muslim is listening to this program.
Yes.
Talk to God, not like to Allah, but just say, my creator. You can't go wrong with that, right? Tell him, I want to know you. Reveal yourself to me. Because God says, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Seek him for him to reveal the truth to you.
We have just a couple of minutes left. We're talking with Sister Ishik, and it is spelled ISIKABLA.com. That's her website. You can get all her messages, written, television messages, verbal, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But we have just a couple of minutes left. What would you like to say that we haven't said? Especially if there's Muslims listening, or help the Christians here in America to even understand how do we explain all this hate? How do we deal with Islam? It seems like we're going to be at war forever. You know.
Well, all I can say is God doesn't care about numbers. Look at Gideon; he had 300 men, and he just had a victory against a vast army.
Yes.
And we are remnants. You know, I consider we need to become true believers. True, in every way in our daily living, we need to be an example of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And we fail to do that, Jerry, in many times.
Yeah.
And I stopped going to conferences and seminars to teach how to minister to Muslims. I don't do that anymore. Like
Why
five
not?
Steps. I have two steps to every Christian to how to minister the gospel to all religions.
Yes.
Okay. And when you do this, not only you will be the most successful Christian and you will have the real Christian life, you can be the best witness to everybody. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself.
But you don't have to go to a conference to learn that.
You don't have to go to a conference. You just live the life of Christianity.
Yeah, do you think that sometimes the wishy-washy Christianity, so-called, is part of the problem here? I mean, for example, just recently, two girls from Austria renounced their citizenship or whatever and now has joined the Islamic State. And now they're in full garb and they're going to participate in the violence. How did we, the West, lose them?
Yes. Well, I am going to England soon, and I will be in the English Parliament. And because in England, in Western world also, being under the attack of Islamization.
Yes.
And Sharia law is coming to England right now.
Wow.
So they are going to tell Muslims, you go to your court and we go to our court. So this is very dangerous. I am meeting with baronesses, lords, and the ladies of the British Parliament.
Yes.
And I will be doing some TV programs there.
Wow.
To bring awareness, wake up call, up church.
Now, when they talk about Sharia, okay, one aspect of Sharia law, strict Sharia, which is just strict Islamic law, one aspect is that if you have a Muslim who converts to any other religion, and obviously usually it's Christianity, that person should be killed. Now, they can't do that in England, legally.
They cannot do it in England, but the more you expose yourself to a false religion, and which is promoting violence,
yes,
which is happening in America as well, the more you are promoting what the results and consequences of that religion, and which is also murder.
I have heard that more Christians, or more Muslims rather, have become believers in Jesus in the last 14 years than in the last 1400 years. Is that true?
More Muslims are becoming Christians?
Yes.
Yes, it is true, because God is really in soul-saving business still.
Wow.
So
where? Just all over the place?
Well, the responses that my program is receiving from the Middle East is showing that the harvest is plentiful.
Yeah.
And God is in the Middle East. I mean, it's amazing. The testimonies are amazing.
But I don't think people know that. I don't think officially it is reported that way. It's almost like God is working, but under the radar screen.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, how about a 10-second closing thought?
Well, all I want to say is to be very sober in the Lord, read the Word, and live the life of Jesus Christ. And my Muslim friend, if you are listening to this program, Jesus loves you, and He loves you unconditionally. He went and He died on the cross for you to offer you eternal life by raising from the dead. So if you want to know Him, just pray. Pray that He will reveal Himself to you
all in
a very special way.
Thank you so much, Ishik, for joining us. God
bless you. God bless you too. Bye.